Hey there, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of That's How We Roll, a bi-weekly podcast where I talk with motivating and inspiring women who are professionals, entrepreneurs, organization leaders, artists, and so much more. This week's guest is entrepreneur, vintner, and owner of Oceana Wines, Rachel Martin. Rachel Martin is the owner and founder of Oceana Wines from the Spanish Springs Vineyard in San Luis Obispo, California. She's a native of Virginia and was there in 2005 at the beginning of what is now considered to be one of the state's premier wine producers, Boxwood Estate Winery. She serves as the executive vice president of winery operations of Boxwood's award-winning wines. She led Boxwood's estate Bordeaux-style wines to national and international fame and was successful in her efforts to designate Middleburg, Virginia as an American viticultural area. We're going to find out so much more about wines and the wine biz as I welcome my guest, Rachel Martin. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you were able to come.
Yay! Thank you, Avis. I was doing the applause like from, you know, the audience.
Yes, woo!
Thank you, Avis, so much for having me on the podcast. This is How We Roll. I love the title.
Thank you.
And thanks for the intro. I love to spread the word about wine and the wine business behind the curtain.
Yes. And everybody was really into wines probably in this past year. Everybody was trying different things.
Yeah, there's a, you know, an explosion in the wine industry as it pertains to reaching the consumer or the wine consumer directly instead of going through wine shops. We had an uptick of people buying wine directly from the wineries on their websites. So we saw that too at Oceana Wine. So we know that people were getting their wine on during the pandemic. And I love that you mentioned that I'm from Virginia and that's true. And I was born in Virginia and then I grew up in Southern California and we headed back to Virginia in high school, in my high school. And that's where I started to grow roots in Virginia, which is a little bit of a pun because I worked I was on the founding team at my stepfather's winery, Boxwood Winery, in Middleburg, Virginia. So I grew my roots just as those grapevines grew their roots as well.
Oh, wow. That's a great little analogy there. I love that.
Yeah. So, and I started my company, Oceana Wines, in 2016. I eventually phased out as executive vice president of Boxwood Winery completely as of December 31st of 2020. So I'm definitely out of the nest and, you know, hey, I'm flying.
You're flying free now.
Yes, free bird. They call me free bird. So, and I'm having a blast doing it, but I'm still based on the East Coast, even though I'm now making wine on the West Coast. So I truly am a bi-coastal type and I love every minute of it.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well, I first met you last year in 2020 before the crazy happened at the Vine Expo in New York. Now, was that the first time I actually interviewed you for another network? Was that the first time that you had Oceano at the Vine Expo?
You know, I was there. I'm a little bit of a renegade, so I brought my wine there. I was not a vendor. I just kind of threw it in my bag, and I went as a participant to taste other people's wines, see the media that might have been crawling around or wine educators that may have been in the mix just to continue networking and making connections. So I just kind of had wine in my bag just to see what would happen. So, but however, my wines have been distributed in New York City, New York State, and New Jersey since 2019. Oh. So not a long time, but I have had our wines in New York and they are sold in retailers and in restaurants in New York City. One of my favorite accounts is Bergdorf Goodman, and they have our Chardonnay by the glass at BG Cafe and their sidewalk cafe, because Bergdorf Goodman just opened their cafe on the sidewalk during the pandemic. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I know, right? So, and then living in New York City, there's always an event, and back before pre-pandemic and pretty soon post-pandemic. Excuse me, I'm sitting outside. There's a plane flying by. I apologize for that.
Oh, I'm just jealous because I'm not outside with you. That's all.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I just saw the Vin Expo as an opportunity to network, and I was lucky to meet you there.
Oh, yeah. That was a great opportunity and a great connection. Any connection is a good connection, I say.
Sure. True.
Well, you started to say a little bit about your stepfather. How did you get started in the wine business and then go on to create Oceana Wines?
So my stepfather had an idea to plant a vineyard and build a winery. And he brought this idea to me in 2001. And he said, Rachel, I'm going to do this project and I want you to run the business for me. What do you think? And, you know, I'm a wine lover. I've always been a wine lover. I started in drinking wine at the dinner table with family since I was 13 or 14 years old. And then when I got into high school, you know, when I got my fake ID, I started buying wine at in DC at the retailer near to my best friend's house. And she would cook. She was into cooking. She became a pastry chef, but she would set the meal and I would pair the wine. It was just a natural thing that occurred. And then I ended up graduating from the Museum School of Fine Arts in Boston with a degree in fine art, but focusing on photography and drawing. So I had a career in that. And then my stepfather approached me about this opportunity to build a new company and start the winery. And I basically jumped at the opportunity. And let's see. And so I went to school for wine after I accepted the position. And I went to Napa Valley College and studied enology and viticulture as a precursor to my education at the University of Bordeaux in France for a diploma and what you would maybe translate to meaning sensory evaluation of wine, a course for 1 year at the university. And I was one of two Americans to attend. And there were only 10 foreigners in the diploma program. So after I finished my studies in 2005 was when the winery had been completed. And I would come home at times, you know, in between my schooling to be involved in siting the vineyard in Middleburg, Virginia at Boxwood Farm. So where the winery is, Boxwood Estate Winery, is on an historic farm called Boxwood, which is on the National Register of Historic Places. And my stepfather, his name is John Kent Cook, and he and his dad, Jack, were the former owners of the Washington Redskins football team. And so John has been a collector of Bordeaux wine specifically from way back in the 60s. And so it was his passion, and he, you know, opened his world to me, and I ran his business for him for 15 some odd years. And I was in charge of all the grape growing, the wine production, marketing, sales, branding, tasting room operations, distribution, and I also designed the labels. And then when a few years later, my brother joined the team. His name is Sean Martin, and Sean took over the tasting room, and we also had several wine bars in the DC metro area, which he was in charge of. And since my departure, Sean has taken over my position, almost all of my positions, but most of them at Boxwood. So because of all of that incredible experience that I had and you know, going to the University of Bordeaux in that program, I made a lot of connections, international connections. And we had international consultants work with us at Boxwood. And just that exposure to all of that, I wrote an American Viticultural Area petition that was established in 2012. So I, you know, I'm highly educated in not just the sensory part of wine, but also the viticulture, so the grape growing and the enology perspective, the wine making. I'm not a winemaker. I don't want anyone to think that. I am a wine producer. So it is my vision, but I understand the process along the way. So I have the capability of communicating my vision to those who execute it. And I find myself so unbelievably fortunate to have found our winemaker for Oceano Wines, Marbu Mark, through my viticultural consultant at Boxwood. Her name is Lucy Morton. So Marbu started with Oceano in our first year. And many times in wine, you start a project and you realize that you selected the wrong team members and you have to fix things. Mm-hmm. But we're so lucky to find Marbu. He's, you know, I'm not letting go of him, you know, and he's just such an incredible talent. And he also, his approach to wine is an artist's approach, just like my background as an artist as well. So that's the long story of how I got into wine and how Boxwood shaped me to start anew with Oceano Wines.
Oh, well, that's a great story and a great journey that you were on. That's really, really cool. Your wine is very tasty, so don't let Marbu go. Don't let him go.
I'm not. Don't worry. So he's actually in Silver Spring, Maryland right now, and I'm in Eastern Maryland visiting my dad. And so I think Marbu is visiting his mom. And he's based in Napa Valley, but he's visiting his mom. And so I think he's going to come over here next week and we're going to play a round of golf together. So.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I used to go to the Silver Springs area. I had relatives there. I do like Maryland.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So Oceana is an artisanal wine.
Yeah.
Could you explain what that means?
Absolutely. With pleasure. So when usually you would say that small production wineries, small family wineries, or wineries under, say, 20,000 cases can tend to be artisanal. And that means that it is a way of approaching wine that you're not looking for the same taste every year. So we are not making commercial products. We're making artisanal products. So we want our wines to be a snapshot or a reflection of the vineyard, the vintage, which means, you know, the climate, how things change from year to year. So the vineyards, which would be the geography, the geology or geomorphology, and the climate. So and then the intention. So what we intend to produce from those grapes that are grown for us at Spanish Springs Vineyard. So that's the approach, is we look at it piece by piece, element by element, like we're building something. And so that's an artisanal approach, whereas commercial approach would be very high volume production where you are competing, you know, like dog eat dog type of scenario in big box retail shops. So when looking for wines, our wines can be found at the smaller retailers that really hand select the wines based upon their merits, but also based upon the people who make them, the story behind them. We are very thoughtful about the environment, our wines, and the vineyard is certified sustainable by a certification organization called SIP, Sustainability in Practice. And then our wines are also certified vegan. So there are no animal products or byproducts used in the vineyard or in the winery to produce our wine. So we're very thoughtful about the impact that our wines have on the environment, also on the people, and then, of course, those who are intolerant for certain, say, allergens in food or beverage, you know, we consider those individuals as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. I just know that's very tasty. I didn't know that it
was.
Well, that's
the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. So your wines are hand selected by them before they go on the shelf. It's not just like, you know, send me a box and I just put it up. They actually take time and they know what they're getting.
That's right. And then they can relay all of that information to their customer, you know, because they're providing a service to the wine enthusiast or their customer. And we're providing a service to the retailer to provide them with something valuable that they can offer their customers.
Okay. I was going to ask you what distinguishes your wines, but is there anything else besides the artisanal aspect and the things that you just named that are other distinguishable?
Yes. We like to call them distinguishing features in our industry. And the proximity of the vineyard to the ocean is one of the most important distinctions with our wines. Spanish Springs Vineyard is located on the central coast of California, right 15 miles south of the city of San Luis Obispo and 1.5 miles from Pismo Beach. It is the closest vineyard to the ocean in the state of California below the fog line. So what that means is that we have lower temperatures in the evening. So it's a very cool climate vineyard. We have full sun and ripeness during the day. And then the marine fog comes in and sits on the vines and lets them, you know, regenerate and cool down at night. So it's cool nights, warm days, coastal fog. And so a lot of the sea salt, sea spray is captured within the fog, and that has an impact on the vines and the grapes and the overall flavor of the wine itself. So you're going to find our wine to have what you might call salinity, so a freshness, and some people call it minerality, but something that is a little bit like of an umami character, the salty character, very savory. So that would be a distinction for our wine. And it shows in both the red and the white. So we specialize in Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Those are the only two wines we make, and we only make premium wine. And so, yeah, I guess that would be it. And then another thing would be, you know, some of the proprietary ways in which we make the wine. So the barrel selections that we choose, you know, you have French oak, you have Hungarian oak, American oak, other sources for oak barrels. We do only French oak, but then there are different forests that you can select the staves from to build the barrels. It's a very complex process. And then, of course, we have, you know, yeast is the ingredient that transforms the sugar into alcohol. And so you have different yeasts that you can select to interact or for the chemical process to produce certain aromas and flavors that we're looking to enhance that already exist in the grapes. And, you know, it's just a little bit techy and I could go on and on. So we have definitely a style that we go after, and the style is reflective of my own personal taste of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And I knew that I could achieve that from this particular vineyard because of its proximity to the ocean and the climate characteristics.
Wow. Just the fact that having a vineyard located in a certain place really makes a difference on the taste. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. Big difference. Big difference.
And one of the other things that I didn't know that I found out at the expo as well was white wines have a glass and red wines have a glass. I mean, listen, I just thought you put it in a glass, a mason jar, whatever, and just sip. But I learned that there are specific wine glasses that are shaped, maybe a subtle shape difference that leads to how you can smell the wine. It tastes different if it's in a white wine and a red wine glass, and vice versa.
Well, Avis, it even goes to different wines. So Chardonnay has a type of glass, and Riesling has a type of glass, and Cabernet is a type, and Pinot Noir is a type. So you can get really, you know, nerdy about, you know, your glassware as well. But I think the most important thing is the lip of the rim of the glass, that it really has to deliver the wine into your mouth in a very smooth and uninterrupted way. If you have a universal wine glass, because I'm based in Manhattan, I know you're in the city as well, we don't have a lot of cupboard space. Okay. So, you know, I do have a white and I do have a red glass, but for those of us who only can really do a universal wine glass, just think about the rim of the glass, the delivery of the wine to your lips, and then also the weight of the glass. You want it to be balanced as well. And then furthermore, don't hold the glass by, unless it's a stemless glass, hold the glass by the stem, not by the bowl of the glass. And that is because you don't want to adulterate the temperature of the wine. You know, temperature of your wine really matters. It really affects the taste. So I like to drink my white wines warmer than most people, because I really like tasting those intricate details within the wine that you can only appreciate when it's not too cold. And then my red wines, I want to make sure that they are cooler than room temperature, because the same thing happens if they're too warm. Just like if they're too cold, you start to, the flavor, it loses its focus. And, you know, these are things that you can learn in a wine appreciation class, or if you just, anyone could just send me an email or I could talk to you. I could talk to any of the listeners more about wine appreciation.
Is there anything wrong with putting your red wine in the refrigerator? Is there anything wrong with that?
No, there is nothing wrong with that. What I do with my, I have a wine cooler, like a wine fridge, right? And I keep that at 55. So when I take the wine, if it's a red wine, if I take it out, I open it up and let it come, you know, rise in temperature a little bit before I serve it. I usually serve it around 60 degrees. And then my white wines, I serve right out of the cooler. But if you want it at 55, but if you want a little bit cooler, there's nothing wrong with that. But I wouldn't drink my red wines cold. I would just make sure they're below room temperature. However, if I don't finish a bottle of wine, which thank God I don't always do, I will use, like, I don't know if you've seen them. They're like a vacuum.
Yeah, so the Coravin system.
Well, you could do Coravin, or you could just pop the cork and then you put, you know, a stopper in it. Yeah. And then you use this like vacuum thing that vacuums out the oxygen, because it's the oxygen that spoils the wine over time. And then I put that red wine or white wine in the fridge because it'll keep it longer. So I can enjoy it the next day without it going bad.
Okay. And how long does it last? And you have a wine fridge, but what if you don't have, again, going to the small apartments, what if you don't have a wine fridge in your apartment and you just use your regular refrigerator?
That's totally fine.
Okay.
And yeah, but don't, if you have an apartment where you can't control your heat and AC, which happens in New York City, or say you don't have your AC on and you've got your, whenever you leave for the weekend and your apartment gets hot, that's going to affect the wine, and you could ruin your wine by it getting too hot. So I would recommend, if you're not going to have control of the temperature of your apartment, to put your wine in the fridge.
Oh, excellent. Good advice.
Yeah. And don't put your wine above the stove, or don't put it anywhere in your apartment that might get hot.
Okay. That's very good to know. Most people don't a lot of times.
Sure.
Nobody had any place to go last year, so probably everybody was finishing their wine. But on a normal circumstance, under normal circumstances, they probably don't. So that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Now, I've actually met a few women who are winemakers or vineyard owners in the wine industry, just like yourself. And I know some that are African-American as well that I've met. And I know that this is a really a male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. What are some of the difficulties that you faced as a woman when you started out?
Well, well, the assumption that I wasn't really, the assumption that I wasn't qualified, the assumption that I got lucky, the assumption that I'm not the owner, the assumption that I, that the assumption that, because I sell wine too, right? I do it all, and it Fox, but I did the same. So the assumption that I'm supposed to be sexy, you know, if I'm a woman selling wine, and I'm not saying I'm not sexy. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that they're selling. If you get an attractive woman who is not conservatively dressed, and you're selling wine, this is generalization, you're selling wine, maybe let's say 10 years ago, maybe there's been some evolution, I don't know, but you're going to either get hit on, or you're going, there's going to be some air of something other than the wine in the glass. So that kind of flirtatious type of thing, I experienced that, and I watched other women experience that. And so that, and then also most recently, so Marbu, our winemaker, he's from Sierra Leone. He's now an American citizen, so he's an African American. And he and I went to meet some winemaker and taste some wine out of his barrels because we were interested in a certain clone that he, of grape variety, sorry, nerdy, a certain wine we wanted to taste. So we go into the warehouse, the barrel room, and he assumed that I was the marketing person for the company.
Wow.
He didn't assume, you know, and it's just that happened. So the more women who get into it and the more women who are able to ascend in positions within companies or start their own business or whatever, the better for all of us. And that goes for the diaspora, it goes for any minority or LGBTQ individual, whatever. It's just the more diverse, the better for all.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I'm involved with women's organizations, and we support and advocate for women, my organization, for women in the arts and media, but there are so many in different areas and different businesses. So I love the advocacy work that you're doing for women in the wine industry.
Yes.
And then the other causes that benefit women and girls, specifically No Kid Hungry and Janie's Fund, which is started by Steven Tyler.
Yes.
And
in
partnership with another organization to bring hope and healing to girls who have suffered the trauma of abuse and neglect. And I love that. I love the fact that you were doing that.
Yeah, and we're also involved in supporting N Street Village, and that's women experiencing homelessness. It's an organization in Washington, D.C., and then also Suited for Change, which helps women who have gone through incarceration get back into the workforce. We support those organizations. I'm a member of Women of the Vines and Spirits, which is an advocacy association company for women in the beverage space. I'm also a member of Les Dames d'Escoffier New York and DC chapters that advances women in the field of fine wine, food, and hospitality.
Wow, that's great. And I really like the causes because I find that so many women have opportunities to give support and advice to other women and other groups. And a lot of times they don't, you know, for whatever reason. But I'm so glad to hear that because we need more advocates for women.
Yeah, it brings me a lot of joy to do those things. Yeah. And we're also Oceana Wines is certified women owned by WeBank. And so, you know, that's the Women's Business Economic, National Economic Council. And they're huge, you know, supporters of women owned businesses. And so I've used them as a resource among other associations such as Enrich Her, Hello Alice, and many others that I have used as resources to support Oceana Wines.
That's good to know. I want to make sure I include that in any show notes, any information that I'm going to list from this podcast. So what's some advice that you wish you had gotten when you first started out in business? I mean, it seems like your stepfather was very helpful in giving advice and you did a lot of the things, but is there anything specific that you wish you had known? And what advice could you give to others that are starting out in any business?
Well, I wish I would have known that imposter syndrome is not unique to me. And a lot of, you know, say you're getting into the wine business or whatever industry and you're new, everyone starts from somewhere. So don't be embarrassed that you have less experience than the person sitting next to you. Don't let it silence you. Don't let it hinder offering your own opinion or asking questions. And going from art to wine and running a winery, you know, is a huge opportunity that I was given to make a career for myself. But I also had a feeling like, oh, well, do I deserve this? You know? And yeah, I did, you know, and yes, I do. And yes, you do, you know? And so if you're given an opportunity, also don't be ashamed to take it, because if you're not keeping somebody else down by, you know, lifting yourself up. You can help other people as you go along. So don't be ashamed if you have fortune.
Right. You can use that fortune to help others.
To help others. And yeah. And then also starting in business, well, it helps to have a mentor, you know, and not everybody does. I mean, I can't say I had a mentor starting my own business. I would like to say my husband was something of a mentor to me, because he had owned and founded his own company, Ghostlight Records, 16 or so years prior to us meeting. My husband, Kurt Deutsch, is a co-owner of Oceana Wines, but he has another company, Ghostlight Records, and then has other things going on. And so I'm fully in charge of Oceana Wines. But when we started the company together, he connected me with his accountant, and he connected me with other ways of, you know, forming the LLC. So he helped me a lot with that. And I would say reach out to local chamber or reach out to the many organizations that help women starting businesses, and because those resources are out there for you. I didn't realize that, so I kind of leaned on my husband for that. But anyone can start a business, and there's a lot of free help out there, especially for women.
Yeah, excellent. So what are some upcoming events and things that you have going on? I know that you just had an article come out in Edible. And
yes.
So what are some other things that you have going on?
Well, as I said, I'm a member of Les Dames de Scoffier, and the DC chapter is doing a series of events called Our Luscious Planet. Their Instagram is at Les Dames DC, and that's LESDAMESDC, Les Dames. It's Les Dames de Scoffier. So Auguste de Scoffier was a famous chef, French chef. And so this organization is about women who are in the field of fine wine, food, and hospitality. Anyway, so Our Luscious Planet is a series that helps. It's a fundraiser. You know, we have scholarship funds that help women get into the field that we're in. And this is a fundraiser for that. So every Wednesday at 7 p.m., it's on Eventbrite. an online cooking class. And June 9th, next Wednesday, I'm selecting the wines for a cooking class of Israeli food. And the it's with Chef Grand Dame Joan Nathan. She's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author and host of PBS's Jewish Cooking in America. And so she'll be showing how to cook certain dishes, and I will be pairing the wines that go with them. So that's something that I have that's really coming up, so next Wednesday. And then I'm involved in the Suited for Change Gala that's coming up on the 24th. And then I'm also involved in supporting the San Diego Vegan Holistic Pop-Up, which is also happening June 24th. So, I mean, there's always stuff going on, and we just stay as active as we can. So, oh yeah, and then of course, which is something I'm very excited about, is the family reunion, which is Food and Wine is having a festival. So Food and Wine Magazine is having a Food and Wine Festival at Salamander Resort in Middleburg, Virginia. Salamander Resort was founded and is owned by Sheila Johnson, who co-founded Black Entertainment Television. And she opened this resort and spa in Middleburg, Virginia, I want to say almost 10 years ago. And so Food and Wine is going to be there for a Food and Wine Festival. We'll be involved. And it's co-hosted by chef and author Kwame Onwuachi. And he's just an amazing, he's from the Bronx. And he's an amazing chef. So I'm looking forward to that. And that is August 19th to 22nd. So a little bit ways away, but
oh, yeah,
some of the things I got going on.
Well, are you going to participate in the Wine and Food Festival here? I think it's in October.
I do not have plans at this time.
And I don't know if it's virtual either.
Yeah. Where is it normally held?
It's either at, I think, one of the piers. Either one of the piers or at Metropolitan Pavilion, I think, but I don't recall.
I'll have to check it out and see if I can handle the entry fee. Because there's always,
I know.
You got to pay to play. You know?
Exactly.
So I got to check it out and see if it's an option for
I know. I wish I was close to Middleburg, Virginia, because I'd go in August for that. That's great.
I know. It's going to be really awesome. And Boxwood Winer is going to be involved in some way. And then we're going to have our winemaker Marbu be involved as well.
Well, I so appreciate all the motivation and the inspiration that you've left with us today. What words of wisdom do you have before I let you go? What words of wisdom can you leave with us?
Let's see. I would say drink responsibly. And I would say drink thoughtfully. And of course, keep your mind open, and you can achieve anything that you want to achieve as long as you have the right mindset and that you believe in yourself. Anything is possible. And then always look to educate yourself, read as much as you can. I read a lot, and believe in yourself, be kind, and love is love.
I love that. Beautiful words of wisdom. I'm going to have everything. You can contact Rachel. She already said, if you want to learn more about wines, I'm going to include her website and her email in the show notes. So make sure that you contact her. And it is key. Drink responsibly. The summer is coming and we're going to be out more than we were last year. Thank God. So please enjoy the summer. And I just want to thank you so much, Rachel, for being here. I hear the bird singing in the background, and I so wish I was there with you. I think it's going to rain. But thank you so much for being here. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And so please make sure you like, subscribe, and share the podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, checking out the podcast. Thank you for inviting me into your space. And until next time, I hope you will continue to thrive, grow, and be kind to yourselves and be kind to others.